Blog Talk Radio.
Gonna tell you a little bedtime tale, legend it will become. Burgers flying out the door, sail on. 2-for-1, no concern for the future. Living for today. Fast food bite on your way, lay it all to waste. The masses are afflicted now. Moo, mad cow, mad cow. Mad cow line dance song.
Hey, Sun Guy Nation, welcome to the show here on another Friday afternoon. Sun Guy and QT with you like usual. Real fast before we jump in with our guest today, if you're looking for some wrestling today, you have WCWO like usual in Indianapolis, Indiana, BWW in Kelowna, BC, APW in Royston, Georgia, NSCW in Franklin, Kentucky, LPW happening tonight in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, tomorrow night, CPW where you can find me in Seattle, Washington, EBW in Fayette, Ohio, APW in Daly City, California, SWA in Pavo, Georgia, Northwest Pro in Clinton, Indiana, BWCW in Port Huron, Michigan, Price of Glory in Coldwater, Michigan, WWA in Central City, Kentucky, APW in Irwin, Tennessee, FLW in Bottineau, North Dakota, OPW in Blackwood, New Jersey, Wrestle Club in Ontario, Idaho, and SLW happening in Munford, Alabama, featuring the return there of Casey Carlisle. Without further ado, I would like to welcome our guest to the show, his first time with us, DJ Hyde. Welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me on.
Well, since it is your first time, like I said, we will begin with our first-timer's question for you. What led you to get into the professional wrestling business?
Ah, man. Wow. Well, I mean, a number of things. I mean, when I was younger, I was very much into athletics. I pretty much played sports my entire life up until all the way through college. My first real big experience with professional wrestling, I got to meet Hulk Hogan. My father took me to a wrestling event at what was the Philadelphia Spectrum at that time. And this is right around 1984 when, you know, Hulkamania was running wild, and it was pretty much one of the biggest things going in professional wrestling. And, you know, I became a fan ever since. And, you know, I had some personal things happen in my life quickly after I graduated high school, and kind of stumbled into it right after that, and since then I never looked back.
Now, looking back on things, when you were watching Hulk Hogan and just getting your foot in the door as far as wrestling goes, it was a different form of entertainment back then. It was a lot different than what you see now as far as the styles, as far as how wrestling is presented, the fan base. Looking back on things, if you were a young fan today watching today's product, do you think you would have still had the same type of interest in professional wrestling, or do you think that it came along at the right time for you to really have it capture your imagination?
Actually, I think that if I was watching professional wrestling today, I think it would probably make me want to do it more. With today's product of what professional wrestling is and things along the lines. I mean, obviously, back then there's a different mentality, different stylistic presentations and ways that our businesses ran, but I don't think anything would have changed. It was when I grew up, graduated high school and became an adult, you don't really know about things like wrestling schools and wasn't predominant. I didn't exactly break in the business the way that people do now, where they go to a training facility and all of a sudden it's here. They're training in a ring with a trainer and et cetera, et cetera. Now I think it's a lot easier to get that exposure to a place like that. So I don't think that would have changed, because I would have probably seen it, and I still have as much passion now for actually the art form of professional wrestling than I did then. Now that, you know, I've experienced so much in my time, and it's just been a, you know, crazy ride. So I don't think there'd be any difference of where it is, at least not in my view.
You are on a lot of different shows, but of course, a lot of fans that are familiar with your work know that you wrestle sort of a style that's more prone to being on shows that have a adult fan base, a little more violent than other promotions and so forth. Now, when you look at the landscape of wrestling, do you think that the promotions that have the more adult-oriented product are the ones that might be getting the most out of it right now with what you perceive the fan base to be in professional wrestling?
I think that I'm more known for those things. It's probably not what I do the most. I mean, fans that don't know, I am the owner of Combat Zone Wrestling and Women's Superstars Uncensored. Obviously, Combat Zone Wrestling has a huge lineage of what is deemed as ultra violence. But I also wrestle for Championship Wrestling from Hollywood. Pretty full time there. Have been for the last couple of years. I mean, I've done a lot of TV exposure. I've been in Japan a lot. You know, even my tours in Japan, I haven't really done too much hardcore. But I don't think that those companies, including mine, I don't think that they're going to get as much exposure. I mean, if you look at the landscape of our industry, I think television and really being mainstream is what's going to get it. You know, the ultra violent and the hardcore, or as it's deemed in wrestling, deathmatch style, to me, and again, this is my opinion, is something you build to. It's, you know, if you watch TV wrestling, they build to a pay-per-view style show. They build to these big time, more violent, more brutal matches. I just think a lot out on the scene here, it's fans are trying to attract the audience in a different way. And, you know, I don't know if that's going to make it more mainstream or more popular, but if you look at just in the United States alone, there's probably about 10 companies. And again, this is my opinion, but there's 10 companies across the United States that are kind of relevant to the internet scene, to wrestling. It's where wrestlers want to go to get exposure, tons of other places. You know, the East Coast has a lot of them, but a company like, say, Pro Wrestling Guerrilla or AAW in Chicago, they don't really do that much of this style. But a company like, say, IWA Mid-South, you know, down there in the Indiana, Kentucky area, I mean, they do King of the Deathmatch and things. So I don't really think it's that much of a difference, or that's going to get that exposure that is going to be out there. It's just a matter of how everything's viewed. For me, like, as someone who's been training people for well over a decade in professional wrestling and who is a professional wrestler and a promoter and a booker and a number of other hats that I tend to wear, I look at wrestling as it's very subjective. So I don't think that the hardcore element of our art form is anything like, oh, we're going to do hardcore, because there's plenty of companies that are doing it and nobody's showing up to do it. You know, there's plenty of companies that have top names coming in, some of the best guys, you know, that do that style in the world internationally and nationally, and people just aren't showing up, where nobody's buying the video content and so on and so on. So I don't think there's anything that really stands out about it. I think that brands and things along those lines kind of stand out. I look at it, well, like wrestling is you know, a never ending wheel. It just keeps going round and round and round. You can put spinners on it or big tires or something like that, but it's never going to change. So if that answers that question. So
I sort of answered it a little bit in the previous answer, but a lot of promotions here do try to be family friendly and attract as wide of an audience as they can, all ages, families, fans that are more casual fans. Do you think that enough of the talent today knows how to differentiate between shows and wrestle a family-friendly show and then go somewhere else, wrestle more of a hardcore show, go somewhere else, wrestle towards that fan base? Or do you think that a lot of the wrestlers struggle with knowing how to work for their particular audience?
I do think a lot of wrestlers struggle to know how to work for any particular audience. I think it's very common play where different areas and different types of fans and different companies and different stylistic things, they expect different things. They want different things. Even different shows, you could be in the same company and a show could be completely different from what it normally is. And I think a lot of wrestlers have a hard time adjusting to that, or at least reading a crowd or seeing what they want and kind of giving them or trying to take it away, what they're trying to expect. If you look at things like just how the United States is set up, or we'll use the world because it's a bigger picture, and I think people might be able to understand it. Strong style, the stylistic of wrestling, what is deemed strong style wrestling, is popular in Japan and pretty much over there, and was brought to America, and there's a, over there, you have to learn how to adjust. It's not, if you're wrestling for a certain promotion over there, like say NOAH or something like that, or All Japan, stylistically, you're not going to come over there and be an old school wrestler, like from the United States, and really, really connect with your audience. Or if you go to a company, say in Mexico, in Mexico, Lucha Libre is prevalent. And that is what they're expecting on the shows. Now, there might be one or two different guys on every show that stand out as characters, but that's character type stuff. And you're still going to see them doing lucha. You're still going to see them, trying to give the audience what they expect. Catch wrestling is big in Europe, which is a more technical style. And if you come to America, yes, it's kind of a melting pot, but like the super indie and the no-selling and the crazy spots are big in the Northeast. You go down to the South, it's Memphis. It's a slower pace. You go out to the Midwest, it's more about work rate and things along those lines. So it does change, and I do think a lot of people or a lot of wrestlers have trouble with that and have trouble trying to adjust because they don't really know how. And I think that's just something where they have to go out and they have to get the experiences, and that's, and learn and fail. There's nothing wrong with failing in professional wrestling. It's just, if you fail, you just have to learn from your failure. You have to take something from it and utilize it. But, there's a lot of people that need to learn how to adjust.
One of the things that has really taken off in the last couple of years for professional wrestling is the influx of streaming services. More than ever, fans can track independent promotions from all over the country and see what they're doing and follow them and support them through the use of streaming and social media. You have Fight TV Network, you have channels on the Roku, you have several promotions having a streaming service similar to WWE's. Do you think that this might be the next big thing in wrestling that's really going to help capture the imagination of the fans of a lot of the independent companies that are out there?
Yes and no. I think yes, because it makes it more accessible to a much larger audience. My company has CZW Studios. Fans can go and check that out. You can use the promo code The Lariat, and you can check out the first month for free. It's very similar to the WWE Network. It's a pivot share People might know that. So it does make it more accessible, but in order to sell it, it's a little more difficult of a sell. I mean, it's roughly most of them are trying to stick to the same WWE model of $9.99, while, you know, most DVDs are going to be somewhere around $15, you know. So it does cut into the budgets. It does cut into, you know, the amount of revenue they make. So business-wise, it does hurt, but you can reach a larger audience. But the other thing, too, with a lot of these streaming systems and sites and things along those lines, it's a lot more accessible to get it for free. So when it comes to, you know, hey, I have the WWE Network, I could watch it on 6 different TVs. I can give it to 5 of my different friends. You know, it's just a matter of what and where and how we're gonna do this. So there's a lot of different ways to kind of go into it. So it's a positive as well as it is a negative. And that's kind of how I view it.
Another way that promotions as well as wrestlers are trying to make money at this is merchandising. It has really taken off in the last 15 to 20 years, where you see a much wider array of merchandise being sold on independent shows than you used to have at your standard show. I'm sure you've seen a lot of different things being sold by wrestlers and or promotions in your day. What's been some of the more unique items that you've come across?
I think right now, like, the most popular thing, obviously T-shirts have been around for a long time, but I think right now, like, one of the most popular things that I have seen are pins, like collectors type pins, like, you know, you find in like a Disney World or something like that. And buttons. I think those are some of the more unique. But as you go to other countries, I mean, I've seen things from companies that sell, you know, wrestler donuts and food that are branded for the wrestler. I mean, I've seen them sell all kinds of weird trinkets. Guys that have specific different styles, they sell a bunch of different stuff. It's pretty much a crazy thing.
I'm sure that you have had a little bit of merchandising out there as well. What's some of the things that over the years in your career that you have tried to get fans to buy?
Well, mostly I'm a big fan of like T-shirts and things along those lines and hoodies and hats. But I have sold things from the rubber wristbands. I mean, I pretty much most of the same stuff you see every independent wrestler do. I haven't really ventured out more on my personal self to odd things, but with my companies, I mean, we've sold everything from football jerseys to baseball jerseys. I mean, pins, buttons, trinkets, Zippo lighters, skateboard decks or something that was new, that we just did. We did a short run of them. We've done, I'd probably have to say keychains and pens and a number of other unique items. So it's very weird. I mean, I have some other ideas for things that I want to sell in the future, but it's just a matter of you know, working it out financially on our level and realistically what the audience wants. I mean, I think T-shirts and cool things like that will always be around, and hoodies and sweatshirts, and people are going to want to represent their favorite wrestlers and their brands. I mean, you have companies like Pro Wrestling Tees now and companies like Bottom Line Merch that are really pretty much, you know, dominating that space when it comes to wrestling tees and merchandising. So, you know, it's nothing that I don't think isn't going to grow. Before you know, they might be – wrestlers will sell anything. I mean, if you go to WWE.com, they've got some, or shop WWE.com, they've got some very unique stuff for sale on their website. I mean, things from children's bibs and toys to spoons and knives and kitchenware. So it is a very unique experience.
Now, one of the things that may not be as relevant today as it has been in the past, but it's still something a lot of wrestlers try to get into as a way to get their name out there, is Pro Wrestling Illustrated. It's one of the very few surviving physical wrestling magazines on the newsstands right now. It's been around since the 1970s, and people always used to go to it to try to get their name out there to a wider, broader audience. Do you think that it is still a relevant tool in today's landscape for young wrestlers trying to get a name for themselves to try to get into PWI?
Well, I mean, PWI is relevant because it has a legacy. It has the PWI 500, the top 50. It has these quarterly shows that are set up to be, you know, big things. They're not shows, quarterly magazines. I said shows, my apologies. Quarterly magazines to be these big things. And I think that it is still relevant. I mean, when the PWI 500 comes out, there's always a big ruckus, or the top 50 women's wrestlers. There's always a big, you know, okay, am I in? Is it this? Is it that? Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I think that's not going to change. And now that they also have an online platform, I'm not sure if fans are aware of that or not, but I think when you see that they do have that online platform, it'll show you how relevant that they are moving with the times and showing the things that realistically are going to make it different and how they're going to elevate it to another level. So I would 100% say they're definitely relevant. They're definitely somebody you want to be on their radar.
Agreed. Well, at this point in time, my co-host QT Vokes is standing by, and I'm sure he has questions also, so I'm going to pass things over to QT for a bit.
Well, thank you, Stein Guy. Hello, DJ.
How are you, QT?
Hey, pretty good. My ears perked up when you said that you turned out for sports all the way through college. Can you tell our audience what sports you turned out for high school? And was some of it football and wrestling?
Yeah, I was an All-American football player. I think anybody who's followed me or knows anything about me knows that. I went on to Penn State University, and I was literally injured my second day of practice. And it kind of brought me home, and it's kind of the story of how I got into wrestling, or how I became a professional wrestler. And it's, wrestling as freestyle wrestling or high school wrestling, as it might be referred to, or collegiate or whatever, that, you know, was something I was definitely prevalent to. It just, in my high school days, football always came first. I was just kind of based on that. And, you know, as I got older, professional wrestling kind of changed that whole mentality. So, and now here I am. Here I am some almost two decades later. It's a little bit different of a scenario.
Wow, so you got to play or at least 2 days for Joe Paterno.
At the time, I never got to a game. You know, we were in pre-camps, and I tore my MCL, my ACL, my right leg.
Oh, wow.
I was injured. Didn't exactly go the way that I wanted it to go, but it is what it is. It's led me to where I am today, and I'm pretty happy about that.
Now, did your ACL tear affect your meniscus?
No, actually, it did not, which is surprising. Most people don't know much about that, but it's surprising that you actually do. It did not affect my meniscus. Anybody, if you watch me and watch my movements or get to know me on a personal level, you'll notice that I actually walk on my toes now. I've kind of modified things. You know, it's very odd on how injuries and things happen to you. I mean, I've had a few surgeries in my day, not just ones from football, but You know, I mean, I have screws in my left shoulder. I have no cartilage in my left wrist. I've had a few other things, you know, taken care of here and there. So it's one of those things where, you know, you have to modify things. And if you get to know me or you get to know me, see me walking around or stuff like that, you might not notice, but I do walk on my toes and have some modifications of things to my everyday life that have affected that for, you know, roughly the last 22 years.
Well, you say you walk on your toes. Could you then challenge Fred Flintstone in bowling?
Well, maybe. I don't know. It's been a long time since I've done bowling, but I would love to take him on.
Okay. All right. Well, can you tell us what position you played in high school football?
Defensive end, or linebacker. I was pretty much a defensive lineman predominantly, and that is where, you know, I kind of thought my path at a very early age, I thought I'd be playing sports pretty much my whole life. So, I mean, that was what I loved. Wrestling just kind of turned that, you know, took that passion and put it into another way. I mean, pro wrestling is a sport, so. It's I'm very happy and very proud to be part of what I'm doing, and you know, and got the experiences that I have. So it's been a blessing almost every day. Sometimes it's a curse, but it's been a blessing almost every day.
Who are some of your favorite defensive ends in the NFL that are now retired?
I'm a home guy. I'm a Reggie White guy. Always have been.
Okay.
You know, I've kind of, as I've gotten more and more, obsessed, I guess, with professional wrestling and how it's taken over kind of my life. It's my livelihood. It's how I make a living. It's, you know, I run two companies and I train people and, you know, and on top of, I still, you know, wrestle full time for a living. It's, you know, I haven't really kept up with much, but Reggie White, was definitely like a big in my early presence. I was big, you know, Philadelphia Eagles fan. Obviously I grew up in Delaware, you know, so it kind of just transcended from that area, that era of the, when the Eagles were there in the Buddy Ryan days and defense. So I was a pretty big fan back then. So.
Wow. Okay. All right. How about Reggie White?
Pardon me?
Did you have on your radar as one of your favorite players, Reggie White?
Well, yeah, that's who I was talking about, Reggie White.
Okay. All right, how about Dick Butkus?
Dick Butkus would be somebody who, like, back in the day, I would watch. I mean, he's a little bit more before my time. You know, I appreciated it. Like I said, I was pretty much just like a Reggie White guy. It was always my, like, oh, I want to be like this, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, when I was getting older.
Okay. All right. How about track and field? Did you go out for track and field?
No, predominantly I was just, you know, a football guy. I played baseball for a little bit. I helped, you know, I coached my brother. My brother was more of the baseball player in our family. I was more focused on football. I played some basketball, but it always kind of transcended into seasons. So, you know, football was a predominant thing in my life at the time. It was there is no off season. It's very similar to professional wrestling. So, you know, you're constantly always working.
Okay. All right. Now, I heard a rumor out of Shelton, Washington, that you were a big Cincinnati Reds fan. Yeah, are they correct?
They are not correct. I am a Philadelphia guy. I pretty much like the Phillies and the Sixers, and I'm a hometowner, that's for sure.
Oh, okay. All right. Now, isn't the Philadelphia Phillies, don't they have during the seventh inning stretch where the mascots run around the infield? The mascots, like the hot dog?
They used to. I don't know if they still do that. Like right now, my life is pretty consumed by professional wrestling, so... It's hard to say.
Okay. Because I believe it was at a Brewers game where someone in the stands whacked one of those mascots that was running around the bases with a baseball bat, which is kind of like wrestling.
Well, that does sound like the Philadelphia fan base of professional sports. I mean, they did throw snowballs at Santa Claus one year, so I would not have put that past somebody.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Mr. Hyde, if you had to choose between being inducted into the Combat Zone Wrestling Hall of Fame or being ranked number 500 by Pro Wrestling Illustrated, which one would you consider to be the bigger honor?
The Hall of Fame, 100%, which I'm currently already in. So, and I've been ranked a lot higher than 500 for probably the last, I don't know, decade and a half. So the 500 doesn't, I don't have as much prestige in it. As a wrestler, I don't look at it the same as I do, you know, the companies and the time that I've put into companies. I am in the Combat Zone Wrestling Hall of Fame. I'm actually in a couple of them now at this point. I'm in CZW, ECWA, SWF. I'm in all their Hall of Fames. And, you know, the 500, I get ranked different every year. So I'm usually somewhere between 200 and 300. I've cracked, you know, in the 100s a couple times. I've been down as low as the 300 and 400s. So it just varies. You know, I don't think there's anything more prestigious than being in a Hall of Fame and being remembered by a fan base and honored by a company in which you work for.
When did you get inducted into the Combat Zone Wrestling Hall of Fame? What year, and who was inducted with you? Who was inducted with your class?
I was the only person inducted that year. I was inducted in 2016, I believe. 2015, sorry. I don't always have the best memory when it comes to dates, that's for sure.
Oh, okay. All right. Wow, that's great. Okay, well, DJ, we play a game called Word Association on this show. Picture yourself on a psychiatrist's couch, and if he says a word, you say the first thing that pops into your head. Are you ready to play this game?
Yeah, I can definitely do that. Not a problem.
Oh, okay. All right. I'm going to give you a list of wrestlers. The first one, Mondo.
Well, there's several different Mondos, so which one are you referring to? I would assume Sick Nick Mondo is probably the one you're referring to.
That's the one. He's the one.
Great guy. Love him. First thing that comes to my head. Nick's awesome.
Oh, right. How about Wife Beater?
Oh, man, crazy. Insane punishment.
Oh, okay, maybe he's the one that needs to be put on the couch.
Beater's down for a lot of stuff. He's definitely a unique guy.
Oh, all right. Okay. Okay, Zandig.
John is the creator of CZW. He's the grandfather. He's the godfather. Godfather's probably the best term. Yeah.
Ooh, okay. I'm going to put down godfather. All right. I've got that written down. Very good. Okay. How about Nick Gage?
He's the man. He's he's the craziest dude. I mean, he's the most ultra violent. He's the king of ultra violence.
Ooh, okay. All right. How about Messiah?
Leader. Probably the first thing that comes to mind when I think of the Messiah. He's a great leader.
Oh, okay. How about Ricky Page?
Ricky Shane Page?
Yeah.
RSP, I mean, he's probably he's the future. He's lovable. You can't not like Ricky Shane Page. It's just something about him. You just can't. He's one of the guys taking us into the next generation.
Oh, okay. All right. Next generation. Okay. Maxwell Friedman.
MJF. That kid, Ric Flair, he's the future. He's at 21, man. The kid's so talented.
Wow. And he's just reached the age where he can look at sexy pictures of women's wrestling.
he can literally go walk into a bar finally. So, actually, he just turned 22 2 days ago. I just forgot about that. Yeah, I don't know why that's on. Yeah.
All right. How about Necro Butcher?
Oh man. I don't know, if you ever feel like getting punched in the face, you call Dylan, that's for sure. Man, I don't even really, like, stiff is probably the first word that comes to mind. Came from stiff, man. But great guy. I love Dylan.
Okay. How about Thumbtack Jack?
TJ is unique. Never met a guy quite like TJ.
No.
But I love him. He's great guy, one of my longtime friends.
All right, Sexy Eddie.
Funny. That's probably the first word that comes to mind when I think Eddie, because he's just, you know, he's always going to find a way to make me laugh.
Okay, all right, good. Okay, how about Justin Payne?
Justin Payne or Justice Payne?
Justice Payne.
Oh. First thing that comes to my mind, the word I want to use, I probably shouldn't say on a blog talk show, but he's a hard ass. It's probably the best way to explain him. He's tough as nails.
All right. Okay. And the last one, Toby Klein.
Oh, great character. Great character. I love Toby Klein. A lot of hardcore guys there that you just listed there that are all guys I have fond memories of.
Wow. All right. Okay, DJ. Well, you did very good on our word association, keeping in mind that there were no right or wrong answers.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Okay. All right. Well, DJ, I saw your YouTube video entitled H2O or H20, semicolon, free match, South Jersey WrestleFest 215, Leo Rush versus DJ Hyde. And in this match, you made your way down to the ring in wrestling gear that looked like a combination of Road Warrior Hawk and Russell Crowe in The Gladiator. Do you still have this red and black outfit?
Well, I've wrestled Leo couple of times. Is it a jacket you're referring to that I wear? A big leather thing with spikes in it and stuff like that?
Yeah.
If so, yes, I still have. I still have that if it is that jacket. I don't wear it as much as I used to, but I do wear that when I wrestle quite a bit. It just depends on what my character point is, but yeah, I still have it.
Oh, yeah. Well, it was kind of like a cut-off sleeved vest,
mm-hmm.
and you have
it goes down to my legs. Yeah, it's a leather, it's a very heavy leather kind of a jacket that has spikes and things. It's part of my ring attire.
Yes, I was wondering if you yourself made that outfit.
Oh, I did not. No, a professional gear maker made that outfit. I did not make that outfit. Mm-hmm. Although it would be great if I did.
Yes. There's another occupation that you could get yourself into, gear maker.
That would be great.
Okay. Well, now the announcer said that Leo Rush weighed 160 pounds for the match. Were you amazed that someone would face you that fell between the MMA weight class of lightweight, which is 155 pounds, and the super lightweight, which is 165 pounds. He fell between this lightweight and super lightweight. Were you amazed that he would face you?
Well, I mean, Leo is one of my students. Like, Leo is a guy who trained with CZW. He's, you know, he's doing obviously very well for himself because he's with World Wrestling Entertainment now. So I'm not surprised. I mean, there is no weight class in pro wrestling. You know, I'm just very proud of what he has accomplished in his time. So, I mean, Leo is one of the fastest rising stars out there on the scene. I mean, he's currently, you know, at, you know, WWE developmental at NXT.
Okay, now if we could return to the psychiatrist couch, what would be the one word that would come into your mind if you had to describe Leo Rush?
Man, unbelievable. That kid has unbelievable talent.
Oh, okay. All right. I myself was going with Tasmanian Devil. Tasmanian Devil, yes. Oh, okay. All right. Well, DJ, the astrological sign of Pisces, they have the categories of Pisces don't like people who seem to know it all. They are usually very friendly, so they often find themselves in a company of very different people. Pisces are selfless. They are always willing to help others without hoping to get anything back. Pisces are known for their wisdom and musical abilities, but they can take the role of a martyr, in order to catch attention. Deep in their hearts, Pisces are incorrigible romantics. Short-term relationships and adventures are not peculiar to this zodiac sign. Inspired by the need to make changes in the lives of others, they are willing to help, even if that means to go beyond the boundaries. This zodiac sign is compassionate, hardworking, dedicated, and reliable. This sign falls between the date range of February 19th and March 20th. Famous Pisces include George Washington, Alan Greenspan, Johnny Cash, Kurt Cobain, George Harrison, John Bon Jovi, Steve Tyler. Now, DJ, based on my analysis, and I'm putting my guess astrological sign, perfect 3-0 record on the line, I'm going to guess you are a Pisces.
That I am.
Hey, I'm 4-0. Well, that's great. Okay. Well, I'm thank you for sitting through that analysis. Yes. 4-0. You yourself have helped me to a 4-0 record.
Okay. Well, it looks like you've got it all figured out.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, DJ, on Saturday, April 14th, at the Colossal Sports Academy at 333 Voorhees, New Jersey, you have the CZW World Heavyweight Championship match between the champion Ricky Shane Page and challenger Maxwell Jacob Friedman. Can you tell our listeners how long Ricky Page has held the title?
He's held the title since roughly November of last year. MJF is the current reigning and defending Combat Zone Wrestling Wired Television Champion. And he has held that title for over about a year now, a little more than that, actually. He has been undefeated since debuting, technically, according to his attorneys. But MJF won a battle royal at our anniversary show to become the number one contender for the CZW World title. excuse me. At our last event, obviously, we had a big contract signing and things have gone down. So we are now looking forward to that match at CZW's annual Best of the Best tournament, where you have 12 of the best wrestlers in the world come in to compete to who can say who is the best of the best.
Now, do you normally hold your CZW events at the Colossal Sports Academy at 333 Preston Avenue?
Well, we run events all over the world. Our next event, obviously, is WrestleMania weekend in New Orleans at the Sugar Mill, which is Saturday, the day before WrestleMania, 7th, at 3 p.m., and we have a tremendous lineup there. But we have only ran two events so far at the Colossal Sports Academy. We are looking to move the CZW Wrestling Academy there, actually, later this month. We are scheduled to move in full-time March 29th, and you will be seeing CZW and WSU move in there and make that our official home. But we also do have events scheduled for our Canada, and we have events scheduled in England, and we are planning to announce some stuff for Chicago as well as New York very soon.
Do you try and give military discounts at your events?
We work with different military organizations on a bunch of different things. We have, especially any former inactive military people. So yes, we do. We also do that with our police and fire. Anybody who is a police officer or a firefighter, we also work something out with them. We have different organizations, just depending on the area which we're in too. If we run an event in New Jersey, we might run some thing with, what is the place called? Miltix, which I think is it Miltix? I think it's called Military Tix, but I think I call it Miltix for sure. They do something for veterans. There's a vet something place. I can't remember them all, to be honest with you. But when we run New York, it changes, it varies from location to location with the associations in which we decide to work with.
Now, when is the next time you yourself are flying into Japan?
As of right now, I don't have anything scheduled. I am actually expecting to go back there sometime in fall, but we have not worked out dates. Might be before then, but it should be fall. Due to my schedule, it's a little bit tough. Because obviously, you have to schedule around CZW, and then with WSU running almost monthly events, usually when I do some kind of tour, they want me to stay on an elongated stay. So it's a matter of working out the right schedule, right time.
Okay. All right. Now, DJ, have you heard of a lady wrestler out of the state of Virginia? Her name is Casey Carlisle. Have you heard of this champion?
I do know Casey Carlisle. I've known her for quite a many years.
Oh, has she ever graced herself into a Combat Zone wrestling match? Or has she stopped by and checked out your venue, live event?
I do not believe she has been in Combat Zone wrestling. I know that with my WSU product, she has been there in the early days. But I've known Casey as a professional wrestler probably her entire career.
Wow. Now, what would DJ Hyde, Casey Carlisle match look like? Do you think she could go quite a few minutes with you?
It would depend. it's very possible. She's definitely a very well accomplished professional wrestler. So, she's stepped in the ring with plenty of different men in the past. So I would, I don't think she's got a shot at beating me, but Casey is very accomplished. She's a very talented young lady, and hopefully I'll get to see her somewhere down the road soon.
All right. How about a lady wrestler known as Kelly Klein?
I know Kelly too. Kelly is from out there in the Midwest, out there in the Ohio area. I think I first met her out at Rockstar Pro. And since then, obviously, she's doing very well at Ring of Honor. And Kelly's another girl who is very, very talented out there. And she has a bright future ahead of her. She's probably going to be one of the faces of the female division of Women of Honor at Ring of Honor. So great, great talent.
All right. Can you tell our Turnbuckle Turmoil listeners what your major was in college and your minor?
I had a major in education and a minor in psychology.
Wow, very good. Okay, education, huh? Okay.
Originally, that was what I originally went to. I have actually graduated with a business degree, though. I have an MBA now. So.
Wow, MBA. Okay. Wow, very, okay. All right, well, mm-hmm. DJ, you did very good on our word association, and I personally thank you for getting me to the 4-0 mark on Guess the Astrological Sign of our guest.
Well, I'm very glad that you have that talent. It's a gift, that's for sure.
Well, surprisingly, it doesn't earn me very much money, though.
That's true. That's very true.
Yes. All right. Well, I'm going to turn it back over to Sign Guy.
Thank you, QT. Well, Mr. Hyde, we have a few minutes left in the show, and I want to make sure there's plenty of time for you to plug and promote anything you want. So anything you want to say to the listeners, plug or promote whatever you would like, social media, upcoming shows, merchandise, your favorite dry cleaner, anything in the world, floor is all yours.
My favorite dry cleaner. Well, fans, if you want to follow myself, you can find me on social media at DJ Hyde _1 on Facebook as well as Twitter and Instagram. Feel free to reach out to me at djhyde@czwrestling.com if you wish to shoot me an email. For everything Combat Zone Wrestling, follow us at Combat Zone on every social media platform or WSU at WSU Wrestling on every social media platform. Our next events are scheduled for WrestleMania weekend, April 7th, 3 p.m. We're on right before NXT at the Sugar Mill. If you are down in New Orleans this year, you want to check out one of the best shows going today, come check us out. We're completely like nothing else. Or if you're in the New Jersey area, or you know, one of our biggest events, CZW will present Best of the Best. 12 of the top wrestlers in the world, from Trey Miguel, Tessa Blanchard, Myron Reed, David Starr, Joey Janela, Matt Riddle, just to name a few, are all competing on that show, as well as you have the CZW World Championship with MJF, Maxwell Jacob Freeman, taking on the CZW World Champion, Ricky Shane Page. Or if you're interested in training at the Combat Zone Wrestling Academy, please feel free. You can contact me at djhyde@czwrestling.com. I'd love to have you come in for a trial. We will be moving into the Colossal Sports Academy in Voorhees, New Jersey in a little over 2 weeks, but currently we are located at 110 Harmon Drive, Suite 304 in Blackwood, New Jersey. If you're interested in a career in professional wrestling, please reach out. Love to see you there. But I don't really have a favorite dry cleaner, but what I do have is CZW Studios. If you want to check us out, go to czwstudios.com. You can get access on Roku and pretty much every other system out there now. Use the promo code The Lariat, all one word, all capital letters. It'll give you the first month for free. You can cancel at any time. Check it out. If you like it, it is $9.99 a month. Every new event goes up there, as well as other promotions that we have links and connections with from around the world. But other than that, I have no other cheap plugs to put out there.
All right. Well, DJ Hyde, it has been an absolute pleasure having you on the show today. I want to wish you well as you continue on with your career.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully things go well for you down in New Orleans. And
thank you.
Fans, if you get the chance, check out DJ Hyde. Check out CZW, Championship Wrestling from Hollywood, all of the shows he's behind. Knows what he's doing, always puts on a great show. Oh, Mr. Hyde, thanks again for being on with us today.
Oh, thank you for having me on, and I hope to hear from you guys soon. Take care.
All right, fans, we will be back with you Sunday. We got 2 big hours this coming week. Dean Hill, owner of OVW, will be with us, and then we are making up the interview with Trip Cassidy. He missed last week due to a serious injury. He will be on with us in the second hour to make that up. So 2 absolutely phenomenal guests. I'm looking forward to Sunday. Get out there, support your local independents. You can find me in Seattle at Evolve Fitness tomorrow night for CPW. B-Boy making his return. Lucha Underground star going to be defending that CPW championship. So check that out if you're in the Puget Sound, and we will talk to you Sunday.